Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, are you happy to be in church today? Are you sure? Okay. You know, before I begin today, I told myself that I was going to do this. Every time or any time we gather like this and we come to church, please do well to always participate in the service. When I mean participate, I mean every part of service, coming from opening prayer to worship or praise. Do well to ensure that you are part of, you know, every event, the process of the service. You know why I say that? Because you're actually never going to have the opportunity again. You know what I mean? After today, you can never have today again for your whole lifetime. Never again. When today is gone, it's totally gone. So when you do not participate that day in any part of the service, opening prayer, worship, praise, you miss the opportunity that particular day. You miss that opportunity for a lifetime. And what I'm telling you is actually quite serious. I'm serious about it. It's something that is supposed to change your attitude towards service. When you miss opening prayer, if you missed opening prayer today for any reason, maybe you were present or you were not and you missed it, or you missed worship and you missed praise, you are never going to have today again in your whole life to ever participate in that prayer or to worship God that day. You will never have that opportunity again to praise God today in your whole life. So anytime you miss it, you've actually missed it forever. Praise the Lord. I'm sure that has helped somebody today. Okay. So let's get into the matter at hand today. I'm going to be talking to you, about a topic I titled, Own Your Life. Own Your Life. You know, when you hear the word own, things like possession, belonging comes quickly to your mind. Things like, oh, this thing is mine. Possession. It belongs to me. That's the first thing that comes to your mind once you hear the word own. Own. I have to possess this thing. It has to belong to me. It's going to be mine. Now, there's this common saying that people usually, you know, say all the time. They will tell you, do and own your house. Do and own a car. It's not because you are not living in a house at the moment. You are living in a house. But they are saying, own it. It's not because you don't enter cars. But they are saying, own it. Let it become your own. Now, one thing you should be able to tell is that when an item or something belongs to a particular person, once an item or something belongs to a particular person, there is an attitude and there is a way the person deals towards that thing. Please stay with me. There's an attitude that is given to that particular thing. Let's say, for example, you are driving in a car. You're on the highway or on the road. And then, all of a sudden, you see someone drive past you, and the person just quickly bumps on the speed brake without any form of caution. The first thing that comes to your mind if you're a real driver on your own lane is that, that car does not belong to that person. It's definitely his friend's own. Because you know that there is no way that that car can belong to that lady or that man, and then she's attempting or went through the speed brake like that. No, it's not possible. You know the damage that it's going to give to that car. So immediately, the first thing that comes to your mind, this car does not belong to this person. It's definitely not her own. There's nothing that is going to be make you reckless about your own thing. You're not going to see a pothole and just drive into it. No. What happens when you are driving on a bad road? You're always careful when it's your thing. But when it's not your own, you almost don't care. I can pass it now. Who cares? You can just bump on any speed brake, bump on anything on the way. As far as you are concerned, when I am through, I'll hand over the car to the real owner. So you find yourself being able to tell when people do not actually own a particular thing or when it's not their own. And then, you know, this leaves you with this thought right now that I'm sure, or consciousness that is already awakening within you, that there's a certain level of care and attention given to whatever you own. A certain level of care and attention is given to whatever belongs to you, whatever is your own. You want to take care of it. You want to ensure that the thing is productive. You want to ensure that the thing is making progress. You want to ensure that the thing is going forward. Once it's your own, one thing you never want to happen, is that you don't want to see the thing going down. You don't want to see it destroyed. No, it never happens to anybody. It's a normal norm within us. You don't want to see the thing going down, you don't want to see the thing destroyed, but rather you want to always see it making progress. You want to see that productivity coming out from it. Are you still here? You want to see that thing. Let me just stick here first. You want to see that thing making progress, you want to see productivity here. That's because it's your own. So a certain level of care and attention is given to whatever belongs to you. Now, we all know about balance and carry, right? The guy comes and then he gets this car and he's to pay back in so period of time. It becomes his own automatically. Though not fully paid, but it's his own. What do you think that guy will do with that car? What kind of attention do you think he gives to that car? Before he hears any noise, what is that? What's that noise? He's always looking out for any form of errors or any form of damage to quickly repair it. Because why? It's his own. Why? Because it belongs to him. So you see that care, that attention given to that car. But on the contrary, imagine that this same car was given to him to be a driver, to drive the car, and then he will be paid a certain amount or a stipend at the end of the day or at the end of the month, any form of agreement. We all know how the story goes. We all know what happens. His own is to drive the car. Come back at the end of the day. Oga, take your key. See your key. Whether the car was, whether the steering rudder was not steady or the engine was making what kind of noise, it's not his business. His own business is, Oga, at the end of the day, please pay me my money. Or at the end of the month, pay me my money. No form of attention, no form of care will be given to that car. Come on, we are all familiar with this story. Everybody will tell you the worst business you can get into is to get into the business of bus driving when you are not going to be responsible, when you are not the one actually driving that bus. Just know that the probability of getting anything good out of it is going to be very hard. Very, very hard. They will tell you, unless the person is a saint, or there is this high level of recommendation, like, but it is something very difficult. No matter how much you try, you will find that there will be that constant struggle, constantly pulling back, just because it's not my own. Just because it does not belong to me. Just because it's not mine. So you see the person not being able to give his very best to that particular thing. So today, I have come to tell you to own your life. Now, all my plenty stories is bringing me down to this place. That you have to understand that your life is your own. It belongs to you. And you have to let this sink so hard within you today. Because that's the only way in this life you can be productive. That's the only way you can move from point A to point B. And actually, that is what it is. It is your life. It belongs to you. It is yours. Not your neighbor's own. Not your parents' own. Not your friend's own. Not something that suddenly happened to me. I'm a human being. I'm alive. Not God's own. That will shock somebody. Yes. It is your own. Now, take your Bible with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. Let's start from here. Come on, I love the attention. I'm sure we're going to finish well. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 14. Now, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered his goods to them." Please, next. "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Please take it back to 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven," I go again, "is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Now at this point you are tempted to say that, is it not his goods? Is his goods now? But he said he delivered it to them. Now, before you fight so hard, if I buy a phone and I give it to you, whose one does it become? Or I buy a house or a car and I give it to you. You know what you immediately do when you want to tell your friends about it? Do you say, this car is for that lady. That lady gave it. You can say that lady gave it to me. But the next thing you're going to start, consciousness will start entering is, my own. Right? You start telling your friends, see my brand new car. But was it given to you? Come on, church, answer me right now. It was given to you, right? But now it has automatically moved from point A to point B. It has automatically moved to becoming what? Your own. So that's exactly what you're seeing here. So he says, he called his own servant and delivered his goods to them. He delivered it to them. He gave it to them. At the point of that transaction, or the point of giving it to you, immediately it leaves his hands. The next thing that happened is that it became your own. It became their goods. It stopped being the goods of my master. That became their own. It's now their possession. It now belongs to them. It's now mine. I am staying with this and I'm using this word because I need this to sink today. This is a life transforming message. So please stay with me. It's something that has really blessed me and has been a great blessing to me. So it immediately moves from there, from becoming his own to becoming your own. So he said he delivered the goods to them. And immediately what happens? He went away. Now he says it's your own. The same way I give to you a car, I give to you a phone, and immediately becomes your own. That is exactly the same way that your life has now become what? Your own. Are we still here? It's exactly the same way that your life has become your own. It's exactly the same way that your life now belongs to you. Your life is yours. This very life you have is your own. You have to wake up to this truth. You have to wake up to this reality. Because until you do that, it's going to be impossible for you to go forward. And when I talk about your life, what do I mean? Everything that is connected to you. Everything within your sphere is your life. Whatever it is that is connected to you, whatever it is that is within your sphere is your life. So when I say own your life, think about it in that broad sense. That's your life. So it is time for us to come to this consciousness. Because you will find something that many of us slack in our life because we haven't actually owned it. Hence the many excuses. Come on, stay with me. Hence the many excuses. Hence the, I'm so tired to go to work today. Ah, that year work. Today again now. Person go dey run up and down for that work. Oh yeah, let me try and go and beg you. When you arrive, Oga is shouting, why did you come by this time? Are you not in time? Oga, sorry, sir. Sorry. Not very sorry, sir. I'm sorry. May you walk away. So we're here. And so, how many minutes? Just 10 minutes. You just shout. Everything knows that. You just be shouting. You know what is happening to that one? As far as it's concerned, that's his other office. That's his other money. That's his business. It's not mine. But imagine that office was her own. Imagine she's the madam of that office. Nobody will wake her up. It's not be a year work again. Nobody will beg her to wake up. By herself, she'll be the one to wake up. Eh? It's 7 a.m. I'm still sleeping down. Oh my God. Oh yeah, she's on the run. She's doing everything to get there on time. And when she gets there, she's attending to customers, where doing everything. Why? Because it's not her own. So if I want to get that lady and I'm to reverse it now, and she's working, the one working for her, the same person, if I'm going to get her to go on time, to wake up on time, to get there on time, to be diligent in that office, what does she need to do? She has to understand now that that work is her work. She has to change her consciousness from being my organ's work to my work is connected to me. It's within my sphere. This is my life. The moment that consciousness dawns, you know what's going to happen to her? She will run to that same office. When you see her doing working, you will, what's this one? This your staff is so diligent. You will understand that what is running at the background is that the lady has owned the job. She has owned it and said, this is my life. This is mine. It belongs to me. You know, you often hear of this thing, bricklayers or any worker. But let me just stick with bricklayers. You know that they are contracted to come work on a site. And you see the man. You know, the same thing we liken to this same example I just gave. But let's explore. And then you see the man coming late to the site. He comes late, he gets there, he's molding. Before you know, the sun is so hot. I beg me, I want to go and rest. One day job has turned to 3 days. 3 days has turned to 1 week. He's dragging leg. The owner of the construction is shouting, hey, what are you both doing? Why you not? How can I do now? We'll finish. I told you we'll finish it. Relax, your blood's the hot. We'll finish it. Don't worry. We'll finish it. He keeps doing that. But imagine this same bricklayer was building his own house. I like this church. Imagine he was in his own house. It's not going to be a matter of days. It's not going to be a matter of time. It is. This is my house. The block has to be solid. The cement must be enough. He will not siphon cement. No, he won't do it. He won't say, okay, we are buying 10 bars. We need 24 bars of cement so that this... And then he'll now keep to, no, if he buys 10, he will use the exact 10. Because why? This is my house. So if I'm going to get that man to wake up to his life, he has to understand that that job too is his life. He has to take responsibility for his work and say, this is my work. This is my life. The moment he does that, he will give due diligence to that work. You will see him moving in the block. When you see him walking, person is so hardworking, so productive. So anybody you see in your life that is productive, just know that they've owned their life. They've made up their mind that it is, belongs to me. I am not the one in charge. This thing, everything surrounding me is mine. So there will be that drive to want to see it make progress. There will be that drive to want to see something great come out of it. Now, I want to give you another very beautiful story. There's this story of a man, let's take, named Johnny. And he was asked to build a house. And let's say his friend stays abroad. His friend stays abroad. And then the friend sends him a huge amount of money. I say, Johnny, please, I want you to help me build a house. So please buy a land. Help me build this house. I want it to be nice. You know, I want it to be very beautiful. Let's say a mansion, a duplex, whatever. I'm putting everything in your care. You're going to be in charge of this project. And he sends him the amount needed. All of you know the first thing that comes to his mind. Ha! So you mean this is how God is to butter somebody's bread? Oh my God. Everything comes of standard will be used to build a house. Immediately, he starts using substandard materials, substandard substances. Where this one will have been 1,000. He said, no, not that one, that is cheap one. Say, hey, there's okay, there's another one, 500. But that, use it like that. It's okay, it's nice. And then he built the whole house with substandard material. As far as it's concerned, it's his friend's own. And it is time for me to make mega boss. So while I'll buy something worth 10,000, I'd rather go for the fake one called 5,000. I keep doing that. He keeps doing that. And then finally, the house is completed and well built. And then the ogre or the friend comes back. And then he says, my friend, I'm true. See your house. Do you like it? And the one is kind, wow, it's beautiful. Not knowing that the house was built with substandard materials, right? He said, this house is fine, it's beautiful. And then Johnny comes, hands over the key to him, say, take, it's not your own. And the man was like, wow, thank you so much. And then the next thing, the friend turns to him and said, my friend, you know, I've always been looking for how to bless you. I didn't know how to do it. I just kept this away from you until this hour. Take, the house is yours. Seriously. What happens immediately? Hospital, you just hear siren blowing. And you know that siren is not a good one. That must be an ambulance taking somebody for resuscitation in the hospital. Guy, you your fence now. You don't, you your fault. There's nothing. And there's no story. You can't, you, it's not be cry. It's just that there will not be blood supply to your heart sitting there. The shock will so overwhelm you that you just numb there. Like, wait, this house, this particular one, is my house. No, now God forbid, it cannot be my house. But sorry, it is not your own, no. So, come on, I hope that story is sitting. So you will now see that the moment you own your life, you will do what is needed to go forward. Did you see that? The moment you own your life, you will give your very best to whatever you are doing. You give your very best to whatever you are doing. Whatever. Anything that comes to you, that enters, that is around you, anything that you are doing, you will always give your best to it. The only way Johnny was going to build that house and make it beautiful is if he has understood that this project given to me, now that it has entered my hand, it is now my responsibility. It is now my own. I have a job to do. It is my job. I have a construction that has been placed in my hand. I have something to do. Now that I have something to do, it's now mine, my work, my job. It's now my responsibility. And the next thing he's going to do with that consciousness is that he was going to give everything to that building. He's going to ensure that it's well done, because he's saying, this is my work. This is a job that is given to me. To me, it is now my job. With that, there is no way he will have done it any other way other than giving his very best to it. We can tell for you, right? There's no way. He will not have done anything less. Not knowing whether he was going to be given at the end of the day. But excellence, we always come out from the life that has been owned. Always. I say always. At all times. No matter the condition. No matter the condition. You will never see this person bind down for inferiority. You will never see him bind down for anything less than the best. No. Because I say, this thing is mine. There will be that rage, that strength, that ability to pursue everything. It will always be there. Always. So I will say it again and again. That the moment you own your life, you will do what is needed to go forward. You will always want to make progress. You will always want to advance forward. Always. 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 All you are conscious about is that this thing that's been given to me, this thing, it has to produce, it has to be productive. Because why? It is my own. There's that consciousness of my own that is going to be driving you. Difficulty, impossibility, stop being a word that will exist in your dictionary. Oh, this thing is so hard, this thing is so difficult. No, it stops. There's nothing that will be hard anymore. There is nothing that will be difficult anymore. Nothing. There is no way. Now, let's look at the parable of the lost coin. Or lost sheep. Both of them. We are going to look at both of them together. Take us to Luke chapter number 15. Verse number 4. Glory be to God. If you've gone home, say amen. Okay. So, it says, from verse number 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? He asks a question there. He says, which one of you, that you have a 99, you have what? A sheep, 100, right? And then you lose one. He said, you will not go and sleep. Oh, and say, after I have 99. It will be, God forbid, 99. That sheep that is out there, do you know how much it's worth? Take it to the market and find out the price. You know, I should go and sleep. If it's a house setting, woman, go and sleep. I beg, give me touch. Oh, yeah, people, let's go. You won't leave it out there. Jesus points this out to us. Say, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one? He didn't say he lost 5. Not 10, no. Just one was missing. And the man has started a search party. He said, that does not leave the 99 in the wilderness. Say, leave that one first. And go after the one until... Stay here. Until... until... he finds it. He didn't say until he search and gets tired. If we don't find it, we are not going home. There's nothing like I quit. There's nothing like I'm tired of searching. There's nothing like I've been searching since morning. He has just one goal. One, not two. The only goal is that it must be found. It's either it is found or it is found. There's nothing contrary. It's not after we have searched for 5 hours, we can now go home. No, it won't happen. It's that I will keep looking till I what? Till I find it. Why? Because this sheep is what? Mine. Which one of you having is mine? So I can't stop. But imagine the sheep was for his friend. Some of you that used to smile, I'm catching all of you. I won't look that direction. No, it's my happen. Imagine it was his friend's own. Ah, my friend though, John, I beg. One of my sheep just escaped now. I can't find it. Please follow me. Let's go. Follow me. Eh? Oh yeah, let's go. Oh yeah, they are searching. After 5 hours, guy, I don't think we'll find this thing. I don't think we'll find it. Eh? You know what will happen? Let's go home first. Eh? Tomorrow, we'll come and continue. We'll continue in the morning. No, nah, John, help me. Guy, you. Which part of the English don't you understand now? We'll be looking for this thing this morning. Maybe a white beast has eaten it or a lion has devoured it. Maybe something has happened. Let's go home. Don't worry. Don't go and die because of one sheep. Let's go. Go and end your life because of one sheep. Don't worry. You still have 99. That's what he'll be hearing. Still have 99 now. Don't worry. Rest. Let's go. Before you go and kill yourself because one sheep is missing. What is it? Just one. No. He even has like, this my friend is even very greedy. What for you? Just one. And you are just, you want to kill all of us. But Jesus said that will not be the attitude of the owner. He said the owner will say, I won't stop until I find it. Now please take us to Luke chapter number 15, verse number 8. Let's turn to Luke 15, verse number 8. Now we are going to see another search party. Oh, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp? She starts the process. Light a lamp, sweep the house, and search. He didn't say search. Eh? Search what? Come on, church, talk to me now. Search what? Until what happens again? See the process. She will start by lighting a lamp, meaning every corner of that house is in trouble that day. Ha! There's nothing like behind the fridge is dark. Oh, that my wardrobe area is only. No, there's nothing like that. Light will be given to it. You know that one, let there be light. It shall happen. Abundance of it. If one lamp is not working, oh yeah, mercy, bring the second lamp. We are talking about my coin here. It's not a coin that got missing. It's my coin that got missing. There's a difference. Say my coin is missing now. So what happens? She begins to search. And the same thing happens with the last story that we read. He said, until she finds it. So in this story, these two stories, you're going to see something. There was nothing like difficulty. There was nothing like impossible. They won't say, this thing is too hard for me. No, I can't do. I beg. We'll be searching. I'm tired. No, they can't get tired. They can't get tired. It's not difficult. It's not now impossible anymore. Those things, those words stop existing in their dictionary. They totally stopped existing. And they continued and continued and continued and never stopped until they find it. Now, that is because the sheep and the coin was what? Mine. Was their own. It belongs to me. It is now mine. It's not my friend's own. It's not my neighbor's own. It's not anybody's own. It is my own. Now, what is my own? As far as is my own, it belongs to me. I keep searching. I don't stop. I don't say it's too hard. I don't say it's too difficult. Many of us that are complaining right now in our life. You know, you have one complaining or the other. You are always complaining of how unserious you are about your life. You come to us, you say, Pastor Ma, I am trying. This is my life. I want to do better. But I find myself always dragging. Even to go to work is hard. To do this one is hard. To do everything is hard. I find it very difficult. The only reason that is happening to you is because you've not owned it. My answer to you today is own that life. Own your life first and see if things will not turn around. Tell yourself that job is my job. Tell yourself that place I'm working, this is my work. Tell yourself this thing belongs to me. This thing is mine. Everything connected to me is mine. Is my own. And see if the same consciousness that these people carried will not get into you. This same consciousness of searching, of due diligence, will not get into you. There is no way it won't. You know, the very day this, or the very moment, or the time this thought, this teaching got to me, it radically changed my approach to life. I work in a unit where I take care of babies, units. And since I got to know this, my attitude towards work totally changed. When I go to work now, I no longer see myself going as, oh, I have some set of patients to nurse. No, I'm going to have my patients. These patients I'm going to meet, these babies I'm going to meet, they are my own. They are my patients. They are my babies. They belong to me. Yes. As long as I work there, that's where I work. It's now my work. It's now my unit. It's now my babies. It's now my patients. So you know what happens? Anytime I go to work, there's that extra care given to everything I'm doing. Extra care. There's that looking out for them. There's that consciousness. I'm not afraid that it's okay. I'm like, no, it can't be okay. I have to still go. You don't use to sit down. I know. You are always on your feet. There's that. I'm tired. I find that energy and that strength always there. I can never get to the point where I say, oh, I'm tired. I don't understand. No. As far as I'm concerned, this is mine. No. This is my patient. This is mine. All these babies here, they belong to me. This is my work. So it, the best has to come out of it. I have to give it my very best for the best to come out of it. I have to give all that it takes. I have to give my time. I can't get tired. Even when my body is breaking, guess what I do? Oh, Lord, give me strength. Pastor said this one time in his message. You hear me go back, Lord, give me strength. Today is getting tough. Why am I praying? I could stop and just go and I beg, I'm tired, and just be doing. No, because of the consciousness that they belong to me, I quickly go and tap for strength. I go over there to tap for energy. But I need the strength to continue today. I need to go because my patients are waiting for me. My babies are waiting for me. Mine! I have a job to do. It's my job. So you see me out there, going out there, praying, Lord, I need strength. I need strength because this is my job, because this is my work, because these are my patients, because this is mine, is the word there that is holding everything. When that word is removed from the phrase, you will find a man's attitude will change towards that work. Likewise, my dealing with our prayer group. Pastor talked about you have intercession group in this church that keeps praying for you people even while you are sleeping. And I lead that group. I'm able to do all I do. I'm able to pray for people passionately because I understand that they are my people. When you see me pray, you will think, oh, this one is praying for. I'm sure it's not her child. But unfortunately, the same consciousness goes. My child, my people. I've owned all of them. They are mine. This is my church. This is my church. This is my church. This is my member. This is my people. They belong to me. I've taken the responsibility over their life. Their responsibility has been handed over to me. So it's now mine. I am responsible for their lives. So when I am praying, Lord, this person needs to get a job. I'm not trying to ask God, Father, come and do this for your child. I'm saying, Lord, this is mine. This thing belongs to me. This person belongs to me. I'm responsible for this life. When I'm praying, it's not a prayer that is half-hearted. No, there's a half-hearted prayer getting into the matter. How do you think Elijah prayed? And why did you think he prayed like that? Does he look like an Israel that belongs to people? This is my nation. And the Bible said the man prayed with all his heart. All his heart. Heartfelt prayer. Make a tremendous power available. You can only generate power because you have possessed the thing. And the way you are going to come to God is not we are going to be smiling. We are not smiling about the matter. You are saying, Lord, this is mine. This person is mine. She can't keep being in that position. No, I refuse. I'm responsible for her life. She has to go forward. She has to get that job. So I'm coming to God with the consciousness of this belongs to me. So I'm going to fight extra hard. So you see that coming into place. So you see these excuses all the time of, Lord, I'm finding it difficult to read my Bible. Pastor was begging people just some weeks ago, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray every day. They will sing it for you to we dance alongside. Say, read your Bible. When you, I will try you. You will not try anymore. Read your Bible. Why won't you read it? Don't you need wisdom for your life? How do you want to go about your life without his wisdom? Pray. Why won't I pray? A life has been handed over to me. Over to me. Is in my hands now. It belongs to me. This thing that is in my hands needs to go forward. It needs to make progress. So, you look around your life, my job, my family, my business, my children, my church, CG members, everything. It looks so huge because why? It's not your own. Before, it won't even mean anything. But now, as you are taking possession of it and saying, this life is my own, it automatically becomes so huge. Why is it becoming huge in your eyes? Because right now, I need to make something out of this thing. I need to build this house very well so that I can live in a comfortable house. So this life that belongs to me now, that is now my own, it needs to be glorious. How do I make it so? What do I do? What do I need to do? Immediately, you know what you do? You run to Jesus. Take your Bible to the book of John, chapter number 15. John, chapter number 15, verse number 5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Now, I have something to do. I need to bear fruit. Abide in me. I in you. Then what will happen? You will bear much fruit. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. Now you have a life that is now your own, that you have owned. The very next thought that will hit you is that I need to bear fruit. Now the moment the consciousness comes, I need to bear fruit. This life needs to be productive. This life needs to go forward. This life needs to make progress. The next thing that will happen to you is, Lord, I need your help. You will know how to pray. That's enough. I don't know what to say to God in the place of prayer. You really do not know what to say to him. You have a job that is your own and you need strength. You don't know how to say, Lord, give me strength. You don't know how to say it, Che. You automatically know how to. Prayer becomes a normal thing. It stops being a constructed event. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Father, I praise your name. You are looking for the next word to say. What's the next thing? What's the next thing Pastor used to say on the altar when he's praying? Oh, Holy Spirit reminds me. No. When you enter, there's no construction. There's no order of events. It is Abba. My daddy, I need help. help. I need help. I need help, Lord. If that's the only thing you can say, you're going to be saying it from a depth. Lord, I need help for my life. I need help for my job. I need help for my children. Lord, I need help. Just help me. You stop looking for words. You find yourself drawn to Him. Your Bible, you will read it all. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of direction. And you need direction for your life. You are saying, this is my life. I need to know how to go about it. So you will quickly run to where you can find how to go about it. You will start doing everything necessary to go forward. Church, are you with me? That's what I'm saying. You start doing everything necessary to go forward. You start doing what it takes, what is required to go forward. You start doing that. Now, if we go back to the book of Matthew chapter number 25. Let's go back there. When the master delivered the goods to them. Go to verse 16. 25 verse 16. Then see there. He said, then he who has received the 5 talents went and traded with them. Right? And made another what? 5 talents. Likewise, the one that received 2 did the same thing. Please move. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. Please go forward. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground. And hid his Lord's money. Did you see that? I said just now, what happens to you? You start needing Him, right? You start going for Him. There's no drag of I want to read my Bible. I don't want to read my Bible. I want to pray. Now, I move from there to show you this. I was going to show you this earlier. I'm not going to skip it. You see what happens to them also. Please understand that we are staying around owning your life. That you have to understand that it's your own. It's your own. Now, immediately this happened, he said, the man went, the one they delivered 5 to went and what? Made it 10. Gained 5 more. The other one went and also multiplied it. So, the moment they received it, they didn't say it's my or God's own. They received it as their own. Hence, they went forth to what? To trade with it. They went forth to become what? Productive. Did you see that? They went forth from there. Immediately received it. And immediately started trading with it. Immediately started running to the Lord Jesus for help. Because we saw just now that they gained 5 more. Right? And he said, apart from me, you cannot what? You can't do anything. So that automatically tells me that this fellow sought for help. And the only reason why they sought for help is because they said, this thing is now mine. And I need to bear fruit. And if I must bear fruit, I need to turn to Him for help. Right? But the only reason that happened was because they said, this is now mine. The one that gained 1, what did he do? He went to dig it. Why? It's my Lord's money. It's not my money. Church, are you with me? Did you see that? He didn't bother doing anything with it. Why will I waste my energy? Praying, reading Bible, going to work. What's my business? Is it my work? Why will I use 10 bags of cement to mow that when I can use 2? Is it my house? Why will I drive that car so carefully? Is it my car? Let it damage now. I will hand over the key to the owner at the end of the day. The car you park for road. I don't even know anything I put to ram. Permit my pigeon. I think you will understand it better when I use it. I don't know what happened to you though. I just notice that I on. Green, the thing refused to start. I said, let me come and tell you, take. That happened because he had the same attitude as this guy that says it's his Lord's money. But the other one says it is mine. And actually, it was what? Yes. So your life is your own. Say that to your neighbor. Say it again. It belongs to me. It is mine. It is mine. My own. See, this thing there, I cannot even overemphasize it. Because if I even come down to us as ministers and pastors, the only way you start seeing yourself giving your best to the assignment that's been given to you is that you have to understand that it's your own. That drag of, have you checked up to your member? Pastor, I forgot. Forgive me, it skips my mind. Tell me if your child will skip your mind. Is it possible? Why? Because it's your child. Your members will stop skipping your mind. I forgot to check up on them. It's not skipped my mind. No, nothing like that will happen. Even every one of us here, every one of us, you are the one that played the keyboard. You are the one that played the drum. You are the one that usher. You are in a CG where they used to do outreach. You will find yourself giving your best to everything that you are doing. You will ensure that you come on time to play the drum because I am the drummer. I am. It is my job. I am the keyboardist. It is my job. It is not I am a keyboardist in what pasture. It is I am the keyboardist. I used to attend that church. I used to go and play keyboard. So, the day my body do somehow, sorry, choir, on our people manage small, I have to bear the Sunday. Sorry. No. Those attitudes of living your life anyhow, the one that word they used to say, anywhere we belly face. You know that thing? Anyhow it comes, is how I attend to it. No, you start being careful, start being systematic, and start being cautious of what you are doing. I have to be on time. This is my drum, this is my church. I have to go there and go and do this. This is my CG. We are going for outreach. I have to be there. I'm telling you, everything in your life begins to work. Hear me now. Everything in your life begins to work. Everything, you become fully productive. Fully productive. You stop being that person that does anyhow I feel like, anyhow I want to, anyhow the thing happens. No. You become fully productive. People will see a life that is working. And guess what? At the end of the day, you will be the one enjoying the fruit of it. So a great reward comes from a life that has been owned. A great reward. I say great reward because it starts from here. But let me tell you, it doesn't finish here. By the time we are done here, for living your life, for owning your life, and taking full charge of it, the master tells them, well done, good and faithful servant. So after you reap the reward here of being faithful to your life, the reward of owning your life, and because of that, causing you to give the very best to it. By the time we meet him too, you also get a reward. I can say that confidently, right? Because the guy moved from 5 to 10. He's now a master of 10. He's now an owner of 10. By the time the master was leaving, he owned only 5. By the time the master returns, he has gained 5. Who ended up owning the 5? Who ended up owning the 5? The same person. So he was only productive for himself. Come on, church, did you hear that? He was only productive for what? himself. Only you do that job well, you get to that office on time, you wake up to your life, your God promotes you. Is it God that they promoted? Before you hide under the shadows, this life belongs to God. Stop deceiving yourself. It's your life. Say, they just promoted me. Will you say they just promoted Jesus? You know, this life is for God though. There are people that want to hide. My life belongs to Jesus. Guess what? It's grace. Grace will carry me through. Lazy. Just see them being lazy up and down. That's why they tell you that Christians are like, some of them are so lazy because as far as they're concerned, God will do it. Yeah, how? I don't understand. God will do it. God will make it happen. My God, I can just sit down, watch as much movie as I have. When grace comes, and even the Jesus is like, I don't understand what is going on. Grace from season 5 to 10. That grace is serious. No, it's not happening. Come on, church, are we awake now? Are we awake? Do you understand this life you have now? That it's your own? That's what, all I came to tell you. And my goal today is that thing must enter. I'm the product of my pastor. It has to enter. It has to land. Come on, church, has it landed? Please, this is me being real. I'm true. This message I'm sharing with you right now is something that has greatly transformed my life. I mean greatly. It changed my perspective about many things. Even the place of prayer is different. That drag here and there is no longer there. I don't find it there. But rather, I just see myself going constantly every day. Every day. You know, I look at pastor and I'm always like, sir, you're always... My pastor is like a machine. Yeah, so does she. He's a machine. Lean looking, demon chasing, all of them put together, machine. He is. Hey, sister, you come back, you go to work, you come to the house, you are doing this one in the house, like, this is never a moment where you say, I've never heard the word from you, I am tired. It's me that will be doing, are you sure you're not tired? Are you okay? You will need no rest. But I don't hear from him, I'm tired today, tired. So the time you hear that pastor did not go to office, just know that the government said nobody will leave the house. That's the only time it's ever happened. But that there is a chance, and there's nothing happening on the road. He's on his way. And he'll still come back on Sunday and deliver a very beautiful and powerful message. And all of you will shout, hallelujah, amen, I am so blessed today. The only reason why I seen that level of productivity was because Pastor always make me know, this is my, say, this is my job, this is my church, this is my house, this is my family, this is my children, this is my business, everything is mine. It is my life. So I can't afford to give it anything less than the best. Are you with me? Come on, who is going to own his life today? I'm not hearing a church. Who is going to own his life today? Come on, are you that man owning your life today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, those struggles are over today. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want you right now to bow your head. I begin to say, Lord, oh, now I understand. Father, this life is mine. This life belongs to me. Yes, yes. I'm waking up to this reality now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, this life is mine. I choose to own it. It is my own. It's not my friend's own. It's not my neighbor's own. Now I understand that when you gave it to me, it became my own. It's not your own. It's not the neighbor's own. No, it's mine, Lord. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It belongs to me, Father. Oh, Lord, and all I want, Lord, is to push forward from here. Yes, I push forward from here with this consciousness. In the name of Jesus. Oh, kala sobo shatali renoya. In kala mademo siate verenemehe. Lezuze jedina paline koza. Come on, begin to seal the picture you have gotten in the place of prayer. Oh, kasala maha. Let those words come out. Let those words begin to come out of your mouth. Begin to say, yes, this life is mine. This life is mine. This life belongs to me. It's all mine. It's all my Father. Oh, kala da balamanda mahaziata. Lezode verina mademo siate verina maha. Every part of it, I own. Every part of it, every single part of it, Lord. I'm not leaving anyone outside of the box. No, I'm not leaving anyone outside of the box. I choose to own everything. I choose to own everything. I own that job today. I own that business today. I own that relationship today. I own everything. Everything is mine, Lord. Everything is mine. As long as it's connected to me, as long as it's within my sphere, it is my own. As long as it's within my sphere, it is my own. In the name of Jesus. Lazato perina madomo. Yes, yes, right now I'm doing what needs to be done. Yes, right now I'm diligent in my assignment. Yes, because I understand that this life is not my own. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, this message has transformed me today. Thank you, Father. I'm going out today with this consciousness. I can stand that say now, that is productivity for me all the way. It is productivity for me all the way. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to be making great progress right now. I can see. Thank you for bringing this revelation to me. Thank you for bringing this revelation to me. Thank you for making me to understand now that this life belongs to me. That this life is my own. That it's not that of my friend. Oh, it's not my neighbor. Oh, Kaladamaha. I'm going to see it in the sphere of things now. Ah, Kalina Mandabaha. I'm taking charge now. I'm taking charge now. I'm taking charge now. No more am I going to allow the devil steal from me because of not knowing that it belongs to me. Now I know. Now I know. Now I know. I go forward with this consciousness. I go out there with this consciousness. I go out there with this consciousness. In the name of Jesus. Yes, my life is coming from here. Yes, I win my life from this consciousness. In the name of Jesus, oh Lato Maliata, Reverend Nedomosa, Nekope Ledina Nomoshata, Reverend Nedina Maha. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, glory, glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.